It's 107.7 The Bone, baby Huey, and I'm actually riding solo right now. I know normally Chasta is here with me, but as in case you all know, Chasta had a baby boy a couple weeks ago, so she's out on maternity leave, but it's okay. I could handle this, I think, by myself, and I'm really excited right now because on the line is a man I have a lot of respect for, big fan, Bo Bokin from Bless the Fall. How's it going, man?
It's going well. We were just talking about how, I just made some time to call you because it's nap time for my daughter. So, you know, it's just kind of that juxtaposition with, you know, being in a metal band and having to worry about nap times for toddlers and stuff at the same time. So it's a careful balance.
That's great. And actually, I mean, that's kind of one of the questions I want to ask you. So my on-air partner, Chasta, so about 2 weeks ago, she gave birth to her first son, and so she's been out, and that's the thing is, during her pregnancy, a lot of the other band interviews we've been doing, she asked a lot of them, hey, how do you balance being a parent but also a touring musician? And so since she's not here right now, I'll go ahead and ask, partly also why she asked that is her husband is also a professional drummer as well, and so that's something they were kind of trying to figure out how to deal with since their first kid. Yeah. So you have any advice for her as far as being a parent and also a touring musician?
Man, you know what? It's something I sort of just, my wife and I, she's a musician as well. We sort of just got thrown into the fire and you let the instincts take over and there's not much that you can really, I guess you can prepare, a certain amount. But really, it's just like you just kind of run and gun with it. I'd say just patience and careful planning. Like we've had to plan things a lot more carefully, a lot more ahead of time.
Yeah.
Even just like getting out to go do anything, you know, now it takes like an extra maybe 20 minutes to add to like exit time where it's like, okay, we got to go to the airport. You got to add that extra like 15, 20 minutes to get all, you know, your kids' stuff together, make sure they've, you know, like Rocket's just gotten, she's just been potty trained. So we got to like make sure she pees before we leave the house. And like, so it's a whole other set of responsibilities. But honestly, it's just, you know, you just get thrown in the fire and you figure it out. And I think as humans, we have that innate, that's something deep down inside of us that teaches us, you know, that, you can't teach, you just sort of learn. And it's something natural that happens. And so that's kind of what's happened with us. We've just been learning as we've gone on, and it's an amazing experience. And I'm so stoked for her. I hope she has a blast with it.
Oh, she's really excited. Honestly, just a little insight. And I guess I could talk about, cause she posted it on social media, was originally she wasn't sure about wanting to be a mom. I mean, her and her husband, Jay have been together about 10 years. And so, but sure enough, she got pregnant last year and, she said this whole pregnancy changed her. And now that she's had her son, she's loves motherhood so far. And she's been posting photos on Instagram and stuff. And she says it's really changed her for the better. And she loves, like I said, being a mom now. So I wonder if that's kind of similar for you as well. Were you kind of like unsure maybe in your 20s and early days with, you know, music and stuff, but now that you have a kid, you love it even more.
Yeah, of course, man. It was, you know what? I've always loved kids in general. Like I've always been really good with kids. My wife's been like kind of the opposite where she was like, oh, kids weird me out. I'm not comfortable around kids.
Yeah.
Our niece, she got really attached to our niece and kind of fell in love with being, you know, Auntie Lights. Mm-hmm. And then when we found out we were pregnant, it was sort of like she felt like the whole world had just come crushing down. And I was like, okay, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I don't know if I'm ready for this. And now she's just an absolute perfect mom.
Natural.
She's such a natural, such a great teacher and just like a friend. You know what I mean? Like, just being a buddy to our daughter, you know, just like, and our daughter has someone amazing to look up to who's into all sorts of different, like she can draw, she can play every instrument, stuff like that. And so now it's more like, now, especially as she's getting older, she turned two in February, so like 28 months or whatever. So now she's really like just a sponge and it's like really fun. And my wife's definitely like a lot more, not more into it, but just more like, this is awesome. Like, this is so cool to have, you know, a little buddy that It's just learning from every single thing that you do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
So yeah, she's a perfect mom. It's awesome.
Perfect. Well, let's get a plug in before I forget. Your band, Bless the Fall, is about to hit the road, and you're going to be coming to the Bay Area to play San Francisco, specifically Slims, and your band along with Like Moths to Flames, Get Scared, and also Picturesque this Sunday, July 10th. Get your tickets right now, slimspresents.com. And Bo, I think you played Slims before a few years ago, if I remember correctly, but I love Slims. I've known for
it's
you.
Cool, man.
It's been a I'm sure it's been a blur in many ways, but Slims is like one of my favorite venues here in the Bay Area, so it's going to be a lot of fun. So like I said, get your tickets ASAP, slimspresents.com. But I was looking at you guys' tour schedule, and the tour kicks off tomorrow, Friday. You're going to be down in SoCal, and then San Francisco is going to be the third night. So I would normally ask, hey, how's the tour going? But you haven't started yet. So are you like, what's your emotions like about to get into? Are you excited, nervous, or how do you even prepare for such a tour?
Yeah, you know what? It's called Back to Basics, and it's sort of like a scaled down, very bare bones, and very like these small, hot, tight venues.
Yeah.
And there's a few reasons for it. You get that fan experience again, where you get to just, there's no barriers. You're just up close. Kids are stage diving and stuff, you know, and it's been a while since we played a show like that.
Yeah.
You know, the last couple years have been, you know, bigger clubs, larger clubs with a full light show and production and everything else. And, you know, one of the things is, it's hard to go up against Warped Tour to do any sort of summer tour.
Yeah.
Especially for our genre, like our fan base is Warped Tour fan base. And so they've all bought tickets for Warped Tour now. So at this point, it's trying to get our fans, the hardcore fans, to spend that extra money, even though they're going to go to Warped Tour, later on this month or next month, to spend that extra cash and come out and experience something that some of these fans, like the newer fans, have never experienced for Bless the Fall. You know, maybe some of the older ones that saw us back in the day have experienced that really cool, intimate venue vibe. And so, you know, it's just sort of like, okay, spend that extra cash, come out, get close and personal. Slims is definitely close and personal. It's an awesome venue. And we played there with Silverstein, I think, in 2009 or 2010 or something like, we played there with August Burns Red. I'm sorry. August Burns Red back in the day. And, it's such a cool place, and there's nothing really that can replicate that feeling that you get when you're just like right in someone's face and you're in that tight little venue. And, it's really a way to create some cool memories. And, it's only 2.5 weeks. It's a really short tour. But it's going to be fun, and really good bands. Like, all the bands on the tour are awesome. So I think kids are going to get their bang for their buck for sure.
Absolutely. Like I said, Slims is awesome. One thing about Slims is it's known for having its big pole over, I believe that's considered stage right, that I know a lot of lead singers like to hang from and stuff. So I'm sure you'll be hanging off as well. If you want a little refresher, if you look at Green Day's Welcome to Paradise music video from 94, they're playing Slims in that video. So you can definitely see that.
Sick. No way.
Yeah, it's that same pole that hasn't gone away. It's like it's a staple of that club. So just a little FYI. I mean, I'm the biggest Green Day fan in the world, so it's
awesome.
Yeah, so definitely check it out. But speaking of just pop punk in general, I was just, I'm doing a lot of research, and honestly, I'm kind of envious of you, because when I told a lot of my coworkers I was interviewing today, mostly my female coworkers were all excited and all jealous, and I was asking them, like, hey, what would you like to ask them? And a lot of them were asked about your love for pop punk and how you grew up, I guess, being a huge Blink-182 fan. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
So do you have any plan? I know you're about to hit the road yourself, but do you have any plans to try to catch them on this tour?
Yeah, you know what? I think they come through Vancouver in September, and it's actually the place they're playing is like 20 minutes from my house, like super close up here, and which is a completely random. They're playing Abbotsford, but it's listed as Vancouver.
Okay.
So Abbotsford's about 15, 20 minutes from where I live. And it's just kind of, to me, it's pretty surreal that they're coming up here to play that, like this. It's a small arena, but it's really close to home. And so if I'm home, I'm going to go check it out. I'm kind of indifferent on the whole Skiba thing
versus Tom.
versus Tom. So Tom's my, like my favorite, you know what I mean? So I'm definitely going in with an open mind, but it's, I just have a feeling it's going to be missing that, that element, you know, whether or not people say Tom's a terrible singer or not, it, it's just part of it, the band, you know, it's part of what I grew up listening to since 1990, you know, 1996, 1997.
Yeah. It's different. I saw their performance on Good Morning America and, Matt was singing Tom's part, and it was a little different. So, I mean, but if you're a fan, I'm sure you'll love it no matter what. But I'm just curious, though, was there any other pop punk bands that you loved growing up over the years?
Yeah, Newfound Glory, The Starting Line, Homegrown. Man, what else? I mean, I've gone to see a billions of pop punk bands. Actually, it was like that was my thing, you know. trying to think of who else. But yeah, Newfound Glory was awesome because they came out. And River Phoenix, who's called Phoenix TX. And
I don't think
they've played a show in a while.
Oh, man, remember that like video? That, oh, now you got me geeking out thinking of stuff from my high school and college days, too. Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's great.
So I was, I was huge into it. And it's cool because a buddy of mine, he's got a band called Figure It Out, and they're from Arizona. They're just kind of starting up. And but, man, they really, really write just true, genuine pop punk songs that really give me that same vibe from like Starting Line and Old Blink and stuff like that. And
nice.
They call it Figure It Out. So if you like that kind of stuff, go check them out. Man,
okay.
I sang on one of their songs and it's called Nothing to Lose. And they let me sing on like a verse and part of the chorus and stuff. And so it was really cool to get in the studio and just sing something different than Bless the Fall. You know, I've only been doing Bless the Fall since like 2008 and singing those songs, and all of a sudden I got to go in there and do something pretty cool. So it was rad. Hopefully they'll let me do some more. I'm like begging them. I'm like, let me sing on more songs. It's so fun.
Yeah, if you don't mind me asking, I kind of want to geek out with you because that's another thing as part as like my research on you and just talking to my coworkers and stuff. Apparently you're a big like superhero fan and anime fan and all that stuff. Is that true?
Well, my wife is more of the anime fan.
Okay.
I grew up loving Batman. Like, who didn't, right?
Okay.
Sweet. I grew up just thinking I was Batman, you know, like the Michael Keaton Batman and is like my day.
Yeah.
I loved all the Dark Knight, like that whole reboot stuff was just like, was unreal.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think Ben Affleck did a bad job with Batman. It was a different vibe than Christian Bale, but... my wife's a huge anime fan and she actually loves superheroes. She loves, comics in general and graphic novels and stuff like that. So a lot of that's rubbed off on me since we started dating.
So did you, go to the anime expo in LA? Was it this last weekend or, that's one of my interns told me to ask you about that. Is that true?
Yeah. We went, I think it was Saturday.
Yeah.
And it was funny because we were on the freeway and my wife saw a giant billboard that said Anime Expo and she like freaked out and bought tickets immediately online.
Oh, nice.
She's like, let's go.
Okay.
Let's go tomorrow. I'm like, oh, all right, sure. So she bought the tickets and we went the day after that and it was insane, man. There's so many amazing cosplayers and just so much awesome, artwork, and the fans are some of the most loyal fans ever, and they're also some of the sweetest fans. Like, everyone is so polite and cool and nice, and no one's like, you know, there was this huge lineup outside. There was like thousands of people trying to get in, and they had everything was backed up because they opened late, so everyone was trying to get their badges to get in, and it was just like, you would assume it would be chaos, right? Like, if it was for anything else. But everyone was like so polite. Everyone lined up and just waited and was like super calm and cool and friendly. And everyone's like high-fiving each other. So it's just definitely a cool world to experience and be a part of. And I think those are some of the most loyal fans of any sort of genre.
Well, since you kind of hinted at already for your love for Batman, I was going to ask DC or Marvel, but my guess is DC.
Yeah. I think Marvel's awesome, man. I think they're killing it in with the Avengers and everything else that they're doing. You know, this Batman Superman thing the critics didn't really love it, and the super fans, there were some things they missed, I think, as far as the characters, like the fact that Superman and Batman and Batman should never use guns, right?
Like, yeah.
He swore off guns and everything else. So there's a lot of like of those things they missed that kind of, I think, pissed off the elitists.
Yes.
But for me, it was entertaining. And I like the fact that I think they almost, for the my only criticism is that they shoved maybe a little bit too much down your throat, a little too fast, where there were some things that could have been saved or just not even really put in there and stuff like that. So, but other than that, it was entertaining. I thought it was cool. I thought it was like Ben Affleck, I think he's directing the next Batman. He's going to be Batman again or something like that. So that'll be interesting. I'm stoked. What he does with it.
Well, apparently Justice League, which is filming right now, it's going to be a lighter tone. And just from what I read online, Flash is going to, if you want to make a comparison, it's going to be equivalent to like how Spider-Man was in Civil War. He's going to be a little bit of that comedic relief in his interaction with Batman. And I'm excited to see how it plays out. I mean, and also I want to see the Ultimate Edition that's supposed to be, I know it's already out digitally, but I want to get the Blu-ray, but the extra 30 minutes of Batman v Superman. So I kind of want to see what they cut out. And apparently it's a little bit better. Like the story is actually flows a little bit better. So I'm excited, but
cool.
Are you a big comic book reader? Because I know DC has been doing a lot of this rebirth stuff and like rebirthing all this, the character storylines and bringing back certain characters. I don't know if you had a chance to read any of that or get into any of that.
I haven't actually. Elliot is like a super geek as far as all that. He could probably talk to you for days about that.
Right.
I'm the fair weather fan. I collected like Spider-Man and Batman when I was a kid. You know, they used to sell them at 7-Eleven. They would sell comic books right there on the shelf. And so my dad would take me in and I'd pick up a comic every single day. So I think I was more into it when I was a kid and then sort of fell out of it. But it's really awesome to see this, the whole resurgence of that whole, comic book characters and just, you know, comics in general, and all the movies that they're making and stuff like that. So it's awesome that all these kids can grow up, with that in their life. Cause there was a whole, like maybe like 15 years where just no one cared. You know, I felt like that whole industry sort of fell off and it was a very, very niche industry. And now they're kind of making it more, you know, a little bit easier to access and stuff for all these kids these days, especially with just the internet in general. Everyone can like look up everything and know their history. They can learn all their history of each character and stuff like that. So it's awesome. I think it's rad. I think it's good for the kids.
Right
and
on.
And adults.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not to change it up completely 180, go from like comics to sports, but also you're a big LA Lakers fan, right?
Oh, huge. Yeah.
So, with that being said, with basketball, and today it's a big in the Bay Area because Kevin Durant's in town and officially, you know, signed with the Warriors. Your thoughts, just as a fellow, I mean, NorCal versus SoCal rivalry, your thoughts on just Kevin Durant going to the Warriors?
You know, I'm a little indifferent on it as far as, like, it's almost unfair to where, you know what I mean? Like, some people say, well, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like Shaq and Kobe and Karl Malone and Gary Payton. And I'm like, no, it's not, because Malone and Payton were not in their primes. Right now, every single one of those players are in their absolute prime right now. Even Iguodala, who's getting older, he looked even better last season than he did the previous season. Mm-hmm. Draymond Green is just a monster. Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are just unstoppable. Like, you put Kevin Durant there, it's like, this is an all-star game.
It is.
It's an all-star game out there with that starting five. And it's almost not fair for anyone. But you know what? The thing is, the pressure's on them now, where if they don't win the championship, it's a failure. And they're going to be the laughing stock, and they're going to be the target from every critic, every sportscaster out there. Everyone's going to be taking shots if they don't, you know, if they don't go – whatever it is they did last season, 73-9 or something. Like, if they don't do that or better and win a championship, the whole season's a wash, and they're gonna be a punching bag. So you know what? As a Lakers fan, and us being in the Western Conference, it's like, well, that kind of really, you know, it's not like we really had a chance next season anyway. And now we really don't have a chance. So, It's tough to watch, you know, and I criticized LeBron James when he went and played, you know, joined up with Bosh and Wade and those guys down in the league, because I was like, man, that's just like, it's cheating, you know? It's like these three, you know, superstars are on the same team, and I feel like it should be spread even throughout the league.
I hear you.
Even when Kobe and Shaq won their three championships together, it was just them two and then a lot of really good role players.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the Lakers won their next two, it was Kobe and Powell, Gasol, and a bunch of role players. It wasn't like three or four just superstars, you know? You know, it is what it is, and it's sports and it's entertainment, and people they love the shock value of that whole trade that just went down. I think it shook the whole NBA world.
Yes.
And you know, and even then I still think if the Cavs keep their core together, that's, you know, and they meet again in the finals, it's going to be a crazy finals. Like, it's going to be insane.
Well, I hope we can stick it to LeBron again. That's just me as a Bay Area native and all that stuff. But no, but Bo, real quick, I mean, just your answer alone really impressed me. Hey, if this whole music thing doesn't work out, you should get into sports talk radio. I'm really impressed, man. It's awesome. But no problem. But also just talking like coworkers and stuff in regards to your wife, a lot of them want me to ask you, have you guys ever considered collaborating on a song or an album? Is there any plans for that in the near future?
You know what? It's we did do a song together. We did Open Water, a song on Hollow Bodies, and it went over, like, the fans like geeked out over it. So it was awesome. And it's funny, cause when we first started dating, we kind of just said, you know what, we both had agreed that we wouldn't do anything together, you know, that was forced upon us, that would have to happen naturally and something that was more organic. And it happened. And that's what happened. Like, you know, the timing was right. She actually helped me write some melodies for that song. And then I ended up saying, you want to just sing on it? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, the song's about you. So, you know, and it just happened organically and naturally. And it shows. It's such a great song, man. And something we're really proud of, but no, she's working super hard on her next record. And, you know, so as far as like in the very near future, probably not, but, you know, like I said, if it's something that's organic and natural and happens and we want to write music together, you know, I definitely wouldn't rule it out. Mm-hmm. And it would be fun because she's an amazing writer and she's an amazing vocalist and musician. So, you know, it would be really cool to sit down and see if we could hash out a song together from scratch and see how it would come out.
Nice. Well, hey, also, last night I posted this on Twitter just asking people for questions for you for the interview.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate you retweeting that. And I got a lot of response from it. So you definitely have a big hardcore following online. So if it's cool, just kind of wrap things up. I kind of want to rapid fire, just ask a few of the answers I got, or the questions I should say I got. I got one here at, let's see, I'm trying to read. Man, a lot of these people's handles are, they're kind of, let's see, Wasteland XND. Well, I don't know, whoever that is, but they will, a serious question. What band inspired you most for you doing what you want to do to get into music?
Yeah, Blink-182 is the answer. And you know what, it's funny because there was actually like kind of a pivotal moment where they were my first show I ever went to, my first real show.
Nice.
And I remember it was like in 96 I crowd surfed. I like circle pitted. I moshed. I stage dove. I ran around Tom DeLonge and jumped off stage.
Nice.
And I went to school with like a, you know, just completely sore and tired and no voice. And it was the absolute most fun I've ever had in my entire life. And I remember just thinking like, man, I want to make people feel that way, that I want to make people feel the way that I felt, the way that I felt the next day, the way that I still feel today at 34 years old. And that, you know, that, there's just something magical about it. And so I wanted to create that. And I actually think about that every time we go on stage. I actually just sort of remember what it's all about and remember, you know, no matter how many people are in the crowd, this is a special moment for a lot of these people that are there who are just completely engaged in it with you. So yeah, that was probably the first time I went, man, I can't play an instrument, but I want to do that.
Nice. Let's see. I got another one here. At Will Shuya. I think that's what I'm saying, right? I hope I'm not butchering too much. Okay. They ask, what's one thing on your bucket list that you haven't done yet?
Whoa. Okay. There's like a, you know, the cliche skydiving. Like, I've never done that.
Okay.
Bucket list. Oh, man. Dude, I've done so much rad shit in my life. It's hard to, like, keep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
every now and then, I don't actually have like a list, but I think you would just, you know, as far as like the band is concerned, you know, I think we've played almost everywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. I would love to play like South Africa and really experience that down there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to play Alaska.
Okay.
So these are, it's not really like a bucket list as far as like, you know, crazy shit to do, but more like places to play. I think those are the last couple places that we haven't played yet. That would be amazing. That would be amazing to play. Other than that, yeah, I don't really have a list, and it's just kind of like there's spontaneously I'll think of something like weird to crazy to do and do it. So yeah, I hope that's not too much of a bummer answer.
Right on. No, that's I love it. Yeah. One last one here. Yeah. I guess I got a bunch, so I'm trying to pick out the best ones. And for a real quick, for anyone I'm answering your question or asking your question, I would hope that these guys would retweet this interview afterwards. So let's see.
Yeah.
At @jhunter_, they said, if you had to listen to one album for the next 20 years, what would it be and why?
Whoa.
I know, man.
20 years. I have to go with Blink-182 Dude Ranch because,
yeah,
you know, that's just that magical record that I could listen to. I would fall asleep listening to that album, and at night I would listen to it in school. I'd have my headphones on, and then I'd go to bed listening to it on the bus. And there was a lot of records that really touched me in my life, but mm-hmm. that's one of the ones that you know, there's just something so special about it that can't really be recreated with any other album that I've listened to. So yeah, Dude Ranch.
Nice. Well, Bo, we always end our interview on this last question. And normally Chasta, like I mentioned, would normally ask it, but since she's out being a brand new mom, I'll go ahead and take the reins and the honor from her. It's her almost famous question, which is at the end of the movie, the kid asks, what do you love about music? So I'll ask that to you. What do you love about music?
I love that, you know, we just went to Asia and played all over China, mm-hmm. and Thailand and Japan and Taiwan and the Philippines, and it just really sort of hit me, you know, how we're singing in another language. I can't communicate with these people in front of me, but our songs are doing the talking. Our songs transcend language, they transcend religion, they transcend any sort of social class. You know, you'll see poor, you know, kids that scraped up all their money to be at the show, and then you'll see, you know, kids that are pretty well off, and they just love music. And so music just transcends all, you know, all of that. And and, you know, in its simplest form, it's all about just, you know, that emotion. And so that's what makes it really special, and that's what I love about it.
Damn, I love that. Great answer. I've not heard that one yet before. Yeah. I love it. So thank you. So, Bo, first off,
of course, man.
Thank you again for taking the time today. So just to recap, go see your band, Blessed of Fall Rock Slims, here in San Francisco this Sunday, July 10th. Get your tickets right now because I'm sure it's going to sell out. Slimspresents.com. And, of course, for everything Blessed of Fall, check out their website, blessedoffallmusic.com. Also, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all stuff. And, of course, follow you on Instagram, @BoBoKen. Also, Twitter, Bo Knows. And get your latest album from Blessed of Fall, To Those Left Behind, in stores now. For me, I like going out to my local record store and buying it, so definitely encourage everyone to go do it yourself. And so, Bo, thank you again for making the time today.
Of course, man. It was awesome. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. So look forward to the show on Sunday, and of course, congrats and good luck with everything else.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy. I'll see you Sunday, hopefully. Maybe we'll get you out there stage diving with us.
Dude, I've never stage dove before. First off, I'm 6'4". 325, so I'm a big dude, so like I might hurt a lot of people, but I would love the
Maybe
opportunity
you put someone on your shoulders.
Oh dude, okay, not to get off track, I know you're a busy guy, but I used to play basketball, so whenever I go to a show, people would ask me, when I was really in shape, people would ask me to lift them up all the time. I'm always standing, and they tap me on the shoulder, and they're like, hey, lift me up. I'm like, God damn it. I came here to watch the show, and I'm lifting all these little kids up all the time. So, but yeah, hence why they call me Baby Huey.
That's amazing. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
All right. Okay, you say that. I will make the sacrifice on a school night for me. For it. So,
man.
But, Bo, hey, thank you so much again for making the time today. I really appreciate it. And good luck with the rest of the tour, okay?
Thank you so much. I'll see you soon.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye.